Covering the crew all season long, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from American Family Field, here's your host, Bob Brainerd.
Must be Tuesday if I'm in. It is Tuesday, and I'm in for Dom pinch hitting for Brewers Extra Innings, where the Brewers tried to be Giants killers. See what I did there? Had their opportunities, had plenty of opportunities, left 11 men on base. And went back and forth with San Francisco in game one of this three-game set at American Family Field, but couldn't get the job done. Entertaining game, fun plays made by both teams in both dugouts, but not able to cobble together a victory in game number one. They'll try it again tomorrow night. I want to start off the show tonight by going back to pregame at American Family Field. Before anything started, before even the first pitch was thrown, and that's because the Brewers are back home, of course. They were just on the road, and Christian Yelich was back in the home team dugout. And so Christian gave an update on his future, his plans, his timetable, his disappointment in not being able to be a part of this team on the field going forward. Christian Yelich is so vital to what the Brewers have done this season. It was a renaissance for him. He was playing like the Christian Yelich of the MVP years. And to have the back flare up, it didn't surprise anybody. And the decision then, he kind of went back and forth on what to do. They decided maybe rest, and then he might be able to, might be able to contribute towards the end of the season, but then more discussions, and Yelich decided that he's going to have the surgery, and again, that took him out of the equation. Now, he'll still be around, and he'll be a leader. He'll be a clubhouse presence for Milwaukee for the rest of the season and into the postseason, to be sure, but not having him on the field, that will be a letdown, but you have to look at what the Brewers have done since. And they haven't hung their heads. They haven't said, woe is me, we don't have one of our best players, and so we're going to fold and we're going to waste this great opportunity and this great season that we've had so far. No, Christian Yelich is responsible for a lot of the parts that went into what this season has become. But he's also instilled in his teammates a way to continue on by showing them the way to approach the game. And they have done just that. They haven't let up. Yeah, the magic number hasn't changed tonight, but the Cubs, a game over 500, are still 9 games back in the division. So Christian Yelich was back in the home team dugout this evening. The assembled media masses were there to discuss his thoughts on what just transpired and his thoughts and his timeline moving on.
Just with how I was feeling and all that, so just decided to do it, get it done with, and feeling pretty good.
Could you provide some clarity as to what the procedure was exactly, like what they did to your back?
It's called a microdiscectomy, I believe.
Okay. Do you understand even like the specifics of it? Like, do they?
I don't know how deep I want to go into it, but really it was just like cleaning some stuff out that needed to go and was causing some problems. And, I attempted to see if I could put it off till the end of the season and be able to finish. But, the things that we tried, it's kind of a long shot. I think I knew ultimately that was my destination at some point, just when it was going to be. Was kind of just trying to see if it could be an off-season type deal, but it just didn't really respond the way that it needed to in order for that to happen, so just went ahead and got it done with.
What does recovery look like for short-term and long-term?
I think it's about a 3-month recovery but I don't want to quote that for sure, but I'll have more time than that, obviously, because from where we're at to spring training. But long term, I think it's going to be a really good thing. You know, I feel great right now, and kind of after talking with the doctor afterwards, and you know, talking through some things, it was something that you know needed to happen. I should have a pretty good recovery and feeling pretty good going forward, actually. So that's exciting, and you know, almost 2 weeks out and walking around pretty normal. So everything on that end is pretty good.
You're going to be able to come back, but
I mean, I was focused on helping these guys the whole time. It wasn't really like wasn't ever really not trying to help the guys. You know, I think for me, it's more mentally freeing probably going forward, just playing wise in the future. You know, I think everybody sees like back surgery and they kind of are like, well, that's the end of your career, you know. But that's honestly, in my mind, like couldn't be any farther from the truth. I think that it's going to help me tremendously. And, you know, I think I'll probably feel a lot better than I have in the last few years going forward. So in that sense, it's cool. I mean, it's really a nice thing. You know, the only thing that's really not great about this is the timing aspect of it and not being able to finish the season and, you know, take part in another, you know, hopeful postseason run. You know, that's unfortunate because, you know, it's a really fun team to be a part of, and these guys have done an amazing job this year. And, you know, and you never know how many of those you get. So in that sense, it's a bummer. But, you know, long-term outlook of, like, my career and hopefully playing for the next 4 years or however long I'd like to continue doing this, it should be a really good thing, which is the exciting part about this and what has been the bright spot about talking with, like, the doctor and kind of getting this thing done, especially post-op after kind of getting to see, like, inside and what was going on and that whole deal. So, yeah.
That's Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich, and you can tell just kind of riding the waves of emotion there, talking about the fact that the negative, that he won't be a part of the finish of this 2024 campaign and then the postseason, but also sounding pretty upbeat considering and pretty optimistic about him going forward and trying to be a healthier ball player when he finishes out his career. Hopefully, this is the last time he has to go through something as major as this. Craig Kishon is next when we return on Bally Sports. Brewers Extra Innings. He's with Bally Sports. He'll join us here with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member FDIC. Craig Kishon is next on Brewers Extra Innings.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
San Francisco gets the win over Milwaukee in game one of this three-game set at American Family Field. 5-4 is the final score. I'm Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday night. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Joining me now, my good friend Craig Kishon from Bally Sports Wisconsin. And Craig, we just listened to the Christian Yelich pregame assembling, him talking about the procedure he just went through, talking about the disappointment, but also talking about his future and how he's looking forward to getting back and being a healthier ball player. What was your take on what Yelich had to say tonight?
Yeah, I was there this afternoon and listened in and talked to him a little bit. And he seems to be, in all honesty, in a much better mood than he was a couple of weeks ago when he basically had to face this decision and go ahead and do this procedure. I mean, the bottom line is he's basically going to be a new man, and he should be a new man by the time the baseball season starts next year. And he's got plenty of time to heal up. And I think he's got plenty of time to do whatever he wants to do as far as get himself into shape. This is kind of a, you know, when you have back surgery and it goes well, it gives you almost a second life. Ask Brook Lopez. I mean, he was a completely different ball player for the Bucs after he had his back surgery, and it takes a while to get through. So this is similar things, I think, that will happen with Christian Yelich. His attitude's great. And guess what? If he's been playing the last year or two, whatever it's been, on and off through this difficulty, and he still at one point this season led the league in hitting, imagine what he's going to be pain-free. I mean, this guy is loaded with talent, and being healthy, 100% healthy, is really going to be a difference maker. I mean, I can hardly wait as a longtime Brewer fan and someone who's worked here for a long time to see, you know, where this guy could go next year and beyond.
And Christian, he echoed this as well, Craig, that the bummer of this whole process, yeah, I mean, he's looking forward. He sounds upbeat about what lies ahead in 2025 and beyond. But the bummer is you're having the season that you're having. You're gutting it out, but you're still putting together terrific numbers. You're contributing to this ball club in a big way. And so that's the only thing in the equation. And everybody, of course, including Christian, and he deserves to feel bad about it because he doesn't get to be a part of this ride down the stretch. And that's the part that, frankly, just sucks, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And he said as much. I mean, it clearly it does. When your team's a winner and you know you had something to do with it, but I think more importantly for him, this is a great team to be around here right now. And yes, they have all had their ups and downs with injuries, and somehow this team is still well out in front in their division and looking for, you know, some good things to happen in the postseason. But, you know, it happened to them back in 2019, you know, what, very first of September, he broke his kneecap. He was also doing some tremendous things at the plate, and the Brewers might have been headed for some big things too, and then they lose their top hitter there. So he's been there, done this before, and feeling disappointment more than once is brutal. So, you know, hopefully the club will be able to pick him up. They've done a nice job without him up to this point. And, you know, Jackson Churio is becoming, you know, a man of his own, kind of filling in almost, if you will, since Yelich went down. So guys are picking him up. And, you know, I know he said during his interview tonight that he knows that ball players only get so many of these opportunities to be on a special team and go deep in the playoffs and have a chance potentially to win a championship. And he hopes, obviously, that that's not going to be a last time. And I doubt it will be.
He's Craig Kishon from Bally Sports Wisconsin joining us on Brewers Extra Innings. Craig, you touched on it, the fact that not only Jackson Churio, but this ball club didn't hang their collective heads when Yelich decided that he had to shut it down for the remainder of the season. That is never an easy thing for anybody to do at the major league level because we have seen it, right, where there has been a superstar player or a pivotal player, a key player in the mix, and they go down and the whole team goes down with them. I mean, we've seen it happen time and time again where it's just they just can't dig themselves out of the hole because that person, that player, a single player is so critical to a ball club's success. Yelich is that. But to see what Milwaukee has done, as you said, everybody picking up the pace, including the rookie Churio.
Yeah, Churio's been just really something to watch. I mean, let's admit it. This guy has been one of the best hitters in baseball since the beginning of June. Think about that. All of June, all of July, and now all of August. Look what he did tonight. Hit another two-run home run, had another stolen base. He's going to be, at this rate, with another month of baseball to go, he's easily going to be in that 2020 club. And we're going to talk about some numbers tomorrow on our TV pregame show about what an elite club that is for somebody who's not even reached 21 years of age. I mean, Mickey Mantle's on that list. Wow. There's a ton of other names on that list that are crazy. And these guys are all superstars, and some of them are Hall of Famers already. So who knows where his career is going to go. But if I'm not saying this is a for sure, but if the Yelich injury opened the door for Churio to say, I can do this. I can be this guy. I can hit high in the order. I can take care of left field. I can do all the things that Yelich was doing before he got injured, because the numbers say pretty much he almost has been doing what Yelich did when before he went down. So kudos to him. I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch, man. Just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, a young man who is literally growing up before our eyes. He started off 19 and he turns 20, but he's maturing and he's turning in to a man and a Major League Baseball player, including that at-bat, that home run tonight, Craig. Now, you and I remember the All-Star game back here when they had the home run derby, and you had guys that were maybe not legit, like Sammy Sosa, who was hitting baseballs literally. I remember there was a thunderstorm going on, so they had the roof closed, but the back panels are open, and Sosa is launching baseballs out of those back panels where Churio hit it. If that scoreboard isn't there tonight, Craig, I think he does what Sosa did back in the All-Star game.
Well, I mean, the scoreboard he hits, the widest, biggest scoreboard that's ever been in this park. It was just installed, so
right.
Think about that, too. If it's last year's scoreboard, he may well have hit it out into somebody's parking lot and broken a couple of windows. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, to watch the flight of the ball, and this is game situation too. It's just, it's really enormous to see. And this guy is just packed with power. He's packed with talent. And, you know, he's going to be something to watch. I cannot imagine him having anything short of a spectacular career the way he's started out. And more importantly, Bob, handled everything. You know, from the contract that was delivered during the offseason,
yep,
to a rough spring, some question marks whether he should be on the big league club at age 20. Man, is he handled everything well. I mean, the way he's handled things this whole season, we only have 1 month of the baseball season left in the regular season. The first 5 months of his big league career are as well handled and enormous and more important than that home run he hit tonight, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, as good as advertised when they gave him that big contract, the young man has delivered. We'll chat a little bit more with Craig Kishon for Bally Sports Wisconsin when we return on Brewers Extra Innings. For this month only, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com to schedule an appointment before it's too late. That's Seider.com. More BEI when we return.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Inning is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers and Giants are going to play three. They've already got one in the books, and San Francisco was a winner tonight at American Family Field. 5-4 was the final score. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday night on Brewers Extra Innings, joined tonight by Bally Sports Wisconsin's Craig Kishon. All right, Craiger, last week I had Augie on, and I quizzed him. I gave him a little quiz. It's really not a quiz. It's more of like, what's your preference, okay? And so I'm going to assume a couple things here. Number one, I'm going to assume the Brewers are going to be in the postseason. All right? I'm going to take that jump, that leap of faith here.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree.
I will also assume, but I don't even have to do this part, but I'm going to assume they're going to catch either the Dodgers or the Phillies, and they're going to get out of that first round, okay? Which that would – we all
That'd
know
be
what,
great.
Right? Because we all know what happened last year, so you want to get out of that first round. That's not a good thing, all right? But even if they're in the first round, all right, best of three, or if it's the second round, best of five, here's my query for you. Your game one and game two starting pitchers, who are you going with, Craig Kishon?
Well, I think it would be hard-pressed if Freddy Peralta doesn't finish on the kind of the note that he's been on now. It'd be hard-pressed for me to think that he's not going to start one of those two games. I think that if Colin Ray continues to pitch as well and stays as steady as he is, I can't imagine that you're not giving him the ball first. I think we
in
saw
game,
Tobias
in game one. You're saying give it to
one,
Ray
yeah.
in game one. Okay, and then go Freddie in game two.
I think you almost have to go that route. I really do. And it, as tempting as it is to say Tobias Myers, I mean, there's I don't know if he's proven it just yet. You know, he's very, very good and having a tremendous rookie season. But I mean, we, you know, he's had a lot of shorter outings, and maybe in the postseason that doesn't matter. You know, I'm not saying somebody has to go six or seven innings, but sometimes, you know, he's been in a predicament where he's gotten hit a little bit in those early innings, and then they're like, nope, we're not going to let you face, you know, the second or third time through. So I think there is more of an experience question, you know, with Myers at this point. But I mean, if we're talking about this a month out, I think, you know, I got Ray and Peralta to start things out the first two games.
Okay, so you're in agreement with Augie, and when I gave this scenario to Augie, he answered, I mean, snapped the fingers right away. He said Peralta, Ray. And I said, hang on a second here. So just for argumentative sake, if Freddie would start to go back into, say, the funk that we saw, you know, during the, you know, the early middle portion of the season, and if he's just not looking the part and feeling that, you know, like oozing that confidence, maybe, okay, well then, can you maybe take the pressure off of Freddie and say, you know what, Freddie, we're not going to run you out there for one or two. Let's bank you for number three, which is still going to be an important game no matter when it is. And if that's the case, Craig, then maybe you get your Myers slot in, experienced or not. In that scenario, does something like that make sense?
Well, I mean, I totally hear what you're saying there, but here's the thing, though. Chances are, if they're going to get the bye that we're talking about, you know, if they get one of the top two seeds and get those extra days off at the end of regular season and almost get, what, four or five, potentially 6 days off.
Sure.
I think, you know, all of those guys, first of all, are going to be rested. But I think with Freddie's experience, two things. You're going to clinch well in advance of having a heated last game of the regular season race where you might need them there, or anybody else at that point. So these guys are going to get they shouldn't have a lot of pressure on them to finish. And they, if they do get the bye, then they've got that time to, you know, catch up. And then I think Freddie would be. You couldn't say at that point then that maybe he didn't finish strong because he's had time off now. I mean, he theoretically could get almost 2 weeks of getting your head squared away and whatnot. I mean, guy's a talented pitcher. He's made for the postseason. So that's the scenario I see.
Do you think that some of his struggles this season, part of it had to do with the fact that he was anointed to be the number one, you know, process of elimination, right? We trade our number one, Corbin Burns. Our number two is done for the season. He's not going to pitch this season. And so, all right, next man up, right? So it's Freddie. He's next man up. But sometimes the pressure of just having that role tossed upon you and you haven't had a chance to dip your toes in the water and get used to it. Do you think, Craig, maybe that was part of the reason that mentally that was a little taxing on Freddie at times?
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting question because he embraced that ace role, if you will. I mean, he used that term. He had a really good start to the season. Let's face it. He had a decent spring. They told him he was going to be the opening day starter. He went out and had a, you know, I thought he had a very productive first month of the season, maybe 5 to 6 weeks. And, you know, time changes pitchers a little bit. Different scenarios of success can maybe put some things in your head a little bit. But I don't know if it got to the point where that messed with him or not. I guess he'd be the best one to answer that question. But I think the struggles that he has had this year are not new to how his career has gone. I think that he has just always been a pitcher that maybe has tried to do a little too much, or B, too perfect at times. And so I think what we've seen this year from him is kind of the same of what we've seen from Freddy Peralta. So I think he wanted to be an ace. I think he wants to lead this staff more than anything, more than even being an ace. And I think, quite honestly, I think he thinks he is the leader of it. And when you think of the Brewers right now, it's hard not to say that he's that frontline pitcher, that's rotation. He's going to make his 27th start tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He hasn't missed a single start. He's been there every turn this year. So you can't take that away from him, that's for sure.
And as you mentioned, Craig, it looks like Freddie is starting to right the ship. He's starting to look more comfortable in his skin. He's not nibbling as much. He's not going, you know, the big bugaboo that I saw, you saw, and a lot of other people saw is that the pitch count was running up there in a hurry. And Freddie used to just be so compact, he would just let it rip, deal with the results. But the pitch count has just elevated so fast on him. And then you're kind of taking yourself out of the ball game when you have that pitch count run up so quickly. So I think what we're seeing lately with Freddie is the fact that he's starting to reel that in, and he's starting to get more comfortable again in the skin that he's used to. Before I let you go, Craig, I got to ask you, because I know you and Vinny Rotino sit up there in the air conditioning eating gummy bears and whatnot, but the, you know, roof is open, it's hot, it's humid, it's sticky. It looked to me, watching the game, that balls were just, they weren't hanging in the thick humidity tonight. They were flying, as evidenced by all the home runs. Did it kind of feel like that? That it was just like anything you get up in the jet stream has a chance?
Yeah, it did. This was by far the most hot and humid night with everything open. I mean, the roof was open the whole night. Panels were open the whole night. We've had more steamier games in here because of either the threat of rain or rain happening outside, and everything has to be closed up. Then it gets
right.
Then you have no air movement whatsoever. So tonight everything was open, but it clearly was the hottest, most humid night. And yeah, the ball was flying for a reason here tonight. And unfortunately, not one or two more could go over the fence for the Brewers here. But yeah, it was that type of night for sure.
A couple of bowls of soft serve, though, keep you cool, right, partner?
Well, you know, you got to eat that stuff fast, Bob, because it's melting, man.
Yeah.
You just, you know, you got to be a veteran on that thing. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you are, my friend. You are. He is Craig Kishon of Bally Sports Wisconsin, joining us here on Brewers Extra Innings. Night, Craig. You got a busy one tomorrow night as well in game two.
All right, pal. Nice talking to you tonight.
You as well. More Brewers Extra Innings. When we return, we will hear from the Brewers skipper, Pat Murphy.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Ooh, that woke me up. Good bump music there from Max Meyerson. 5-4 is the final score at American Family Field. San Francisco over Milwaukee in game one of this three-game series. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on Brewers Extra Innings tonight. Looked like it would be a pitcher's duel. Logan Webb, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, and certainly in the National League, against Tobias Myers, who's been terrific this season for Milwaukee. But it was, as Craig Kishon and I just mentioned, it was the thick air and a lot of home runs flying through it. Pat Murphy talks about that and other items in his post-game chat.
Huge part. I think it was. I think guys were a little warm and sweating profusely. But I think it. You know, both teams did a nice job. I thought it was a fairly well-played game, and I thought I love the way we competed. You know, the one thing is whatever it may be, when you have your club in position to win and you're competing like that. I mean, we had some great at-bats tonight. We made some great plays defensively. You know, you can dissect it. You know, whenever you lose a game, you can dissect things and say, well, what about this? And you sure this guy isn't tipping? And you sure this isn't, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I'm just proud our guys competed the way they did. They really did. There's a lot of young players in that lineup. And, you know, they competed till the end. Proud of them.
On the offensive side for you guys, you saw almost 200 pitches, drew 7 walks, left 11 on base. Did it feel like, from your perspective, it was the kind of at-bats you're looking for, maybe just missing that big hit to drive some guys in?
I mean, you know, we hit some balls on the nose there at the end, and you know, Hoskins hit 2 balls fairly good, right center, left center, and, you know, you can think back to Contreras's line drive to right or hard hit ball to second. I mean, we hit some balls right at them, but, you know, give them credit too. They pitch good when they had to, and the Webb kid's a, you know, all-star type pitcher, and you know, he gave them what he could, and he's tough to, like, add on against because his stuff moves around really good. And give them credit. Their bullpen was really good, and, yeah, they got some big hits.
Contreras, going back to the first inning, was that as impressive a plate appearance as you
we've seen it before? Remember against Verlander in Houston, it was something like that. One of the best debuts I've seen, and it ended with a homer. But this one ended with a walk. But that's the type of discipline this guy has. Pretty impressive.
Do you think Jackson had that kind of power in him?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Jackson, he's got lightning hands, and you know, he faced some pitching he hadn't seen before, and you know, he's been in the big leagues 130 games, but he got pitched tough tonight after that, and but it's a great learning experience for a lot of the guys, and it's tough when things don't go your way, but I love the way they competed, and if they keep competing like that, it gives us a chance in these types of games against these type pitchers.
What's the key to Blake Perkins with those plays he makes up over the wall?
Yeah, he's a great athlete, and he works at it. You know, he works at it. This guy, if you watch him during BP, he's out there taking balls. You know, 130 games in, he's out there still taking balls and doing the thing. And, you know, that whole bench is pulling for Perk in a way that, you know, and they're not surprised by anything you see him do. I mean, he's become really proficient at it. And, yeah, as good a play as I've seen over the fence since Lo Kane, you know.
That's Milwaukee skipper Pat Murphy. He talked about Blake Perkins. He talked about Jackson Chourio for good reason. They provided the highlights in this game. There were highlights, even though Milwaukee fell short by a run. We'll recap for you next on Brewers Extra Innings.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Bob Brainerd.
All right, the Giants struck first in the top of the third. They tallied once off of Tobias Myers. But Milwaukee, boy, did they ever provide the answer. Jackson Chourio, bottom three.
Now he goes on a 2-0 that's drilled into deep left center field. High, majestic, way up and out. Home run, Jackson Chourio, a two-run blast. He clobbered the longest home run of the season for any Brewer. 449 feet. And the Brewers take a 2-1 lead off of Webb in the third.
Yeah, and you heard Craig Kishon talk about that he took a chunk out of the scoreboard. That if the scoreboard's not there, that ball might have gone over 500 feet. But anyway, it was long and it was majestic. It was a blast. The Giants came back to tie it in the top of the fourth inning at 2 apiece. And in the top of the fifth, they threatened to take the lead, but here comes Blake Perkins.
1-2 pitch. High fly ball, deep left center field. Perkins on the run, going back to the track at the wall. He reaches up. Oh, Blake Perkins got another. Wow! A superhero in center. Blake Perkins up over the wall, and he brought it back.
Yeah, for the moment, Blake Perkins kept the game tied at 2-2, but the very next batter hit a solo home run to give the Giants the lead at 3-2. Ah, but never fear, bottom six, Milwaukee regains the lead in this seesaw affair.
The pitch, high fly ball, deep left field, racing back to the track, gone! Adamas again! A two-run shot for Willie, his 24th of the season, and the Brewers back on top, it's 4-3.
And how about this, Willie Adamas on that two-run shot now has 88 RBI on the season. He's got a great chance to hit the century mark when it's all said and done. The lead, however, was short-lived. When I say seesaw affair, it really was seesaw, because in the top of the seventh, Mike Yastrzemski went yard to give the Giants the lead at 5-4. And Milwaukee almost seesawed it right back and walked it off in the process. Bottom of the ninth, a runner on, two outs, Blake Perkins at the dish.
2-2 pitch. Perkins, a high fly ball, right field, but playable. Yastrzemski backing up onto the warning track, makes the catch, and this ball game is over. Perkins gave it a ride, the ballpark held it, and the Giants take game one by a final of 5-4 here at American Family Field.
Boy, how fun would that have been if Blake Perkins could have walked it off after making the highlight reel catch? He came that close, but not to be, as the Giants hang on to win at 5-4. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we will wrap things up. Get you ready for game two tomorrow night back at the ballpark.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Giants beat the Brewers 5-4 at American Family Field tonight. It's game one of this three-game set with the San Franners. Game two is tomorrow night. We'll preview that in just a moment. The Cubs were the closest in the division to Milwaukee. They were big winners over the Pirates tonight, 9-5. So with the Milwaukee loss, the lead is, it's still comfy. It's nine games, and the magic number remains at 22 for the Brewers. Pretty soon we're going to get this under 20, and it can start to get serious. In the race for either the first or second best record in the National League, which is pivotal, gets you out of that first round. The Phillies shut out the Astros tonight 5-0. And the Dodgers in L.A., they are losing at the moment to the Baltimore Orioles 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning. So that game is still to be decided between the Birds and the Dodgers. Milwaukee gets back at it tomorrow. We start everything off at 6 p.m. with Dom and Brewers warm-up at 6 p.m. And then at 6:35, it's the pregame show here on 620 WTMJ and on the Brewers statewide network. The first pitch scheduled for around 7:10 p.m., game two between the Giants and the Brewers. The probable pitchers, it'll be Kyle Harrison for the Giants. He's 7-5 with an ERA right at 4.00 and 108 Ks on the season. Freddie Peralta, Craig and I talked about him trying to stay in a good place, Freddie, at 8-7, 3.86 ERA, 164 Ks on the season for Freddie Peralta. That is your game two matchup on the bump. I want to thank Max Meyerson, who's been pressing all the buttons tonight. I want to thank Craig Kishon from Bally Sports Wisconsin. Dom is back for your Wednesday night recap and all the post-game highlights and fun stuff. Milwaukee falling in game one tonight to the Giants, 5-4, the final score. You've been listening to Brewers Extra Innings. I'm Bob Brainerd. Have a great evening.